Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. The substance is what's in your heart that says, I have it now, and I don't have to see it. The evidence of the thing not seen, evidence is always testimony. And that speaking out is with power. That's why God is so interested in the condition of our heart. Because out of our heart comes the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, the condition of our heart is very critical in walking in victory and having power in what we say. Jesus in the boat. These guys wake him up, and they knew what they were doing on that lake. They were professional, successful, rich fishermen. Wasn't like they hadn't seen a storm before. I shared with Don a little earlier, they didn't go, Jesus, wake up. Don't you know we're going down? They were screaming red-faced. Because they, in their heart, knew they were going to die. Jesus wakes up. This gives us a picture of where God wants us to be. And what did they say to Jesus? Don't you care that we're perishing? We're dying? Don't you care? It was more like, don't you care? All of them. Now, who brought the storm up? Who do you think brought the storm up? Say it hard.
Devil.
The devil. With conviction, Diane. 1, 2, 3. Of course. He wanted to teach the disciples a lesson. No.
Wanted to kill them.
The devil's not. He wanted to kill them.
That's right.
Take an A. Trials and tribulations are not to teach us anything. It's to give us the victory. And I see every trial and every tribulation is an opportunity. What do you mean an opportunity? Opportunity to prove the word, opportunity to walk in victory, and an opportunity to stick it in the victory file. Get a file nice and thick, and every time the enemy comes around, just flip that file open. Anybody watch football at all? Anybody ever watch the Florida Gators when Tebow played for them? Anybody? I'm in Pennsylvania. It's a risk, but... Okay? He's playing for Denver Broncos. Of course, he was the legend in Florida because half of Florida is Gator fans. And Joe went to University of Florida, oldest son. So I'm forced to have a Gator shirt, you know. And, of course, he follows it. And Tebow was a running quarterback, considered the greatest college quarterback ever. And he was. But one thing he would do, because he has a threat to run, he'd take the ball and he'd go like that. So he was running what they call a play-action pass by himself. He didn't need another player. And it froze the defense. And then he'd go back and he could pass. Well, see, we need a victory file where the enemy is concerned so we can go. And he runs because he knows what that means. Amen? And we need to get to the place where that's all we got to do. Not this big, long, nonsensical, 20-day hassle. Do you really think that Jesus took 2 or 3 days to still that storm? Huh? So we know it was the devil, but what was the devil trying to do? He was trying to kill them, but he also knew that Jesus was the one. So when he got a hold of the disciples who were speaking devil words, Don't you care? What was he trying to do? He's trying to get the care into them, into Jesus, and get what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So what was in Jesus? Righteousness, peace, and joy. And the enemy wanted to get it out of him. Why? What did Jesus say to the storm? Peace, be still. Where did the peace come from? From his heart, from inside. So when he spoke peace, that power in those words stilled that storm. Now, we haven't had a hurricane hit Florida since those we got caught off guard and three of them came through at one time. But there are churches, we're taking authority over the hurricanes. And we've watched them come, turn. Unfortunately, you guys got to get with it for the last one. And you can do it. You see, watch one come right toward Florida and the weatherman going, this is very odd. Turn away and then head up the Atlantic. We have that authority. However, you lose the power in your words if you allow your heart to be empty, like Priscilla was talking about, because there's no such thing as a vacuum. If the word of God's not there, the devil's going to fill it with fear, doubt, unbelief, whatever. Can you see that? Remember when Jesus said, if you cast out an evil spirit and it goes walking around, it comes back and finds it empty, it'll come back stronger. But what needs to be in those rooms of your heart? The Word. Because it's the Word that defeats the enemy. Jesus confronted the devil in the wilderness. What did he use? They said, well, he spoke the Word, the written Word. He did speak the Word, but he spoke it with power. Like, I mean what I say. You get it? And the next verse says he came back in the power of the Spirit. See, every time the enemy attacks, I'm going to come back in more of the power of the Spirit. He's such a loser. Such a loser. Because Jesus, his heart was filled with that word. Amen? Can you see that? Turn to Romans chapter 8. That was just a little appetizer. Very important. Romans chapter 8. Now, one of the things that is very important for us as believers, disciples of the Lord, is to always check your foundation. Because it's another thing the adversary tries to do, and those that are around you that are in unbelief. In other words, unbelief will attack you. Okay? And it chisels away at your foundation. Because if you want to take down a building, what's the easiest way to do it? Destroy the foundation and the whole thing comes tumbling down. So it's always chiseling away at that foundation. Trying to chisel at it. So it's good to check all the time the foundation. So we understand then that when we received Jesus as Lord and Savior, we became born again of the Spirit, that we are a spirit and we have a soul. The soul is part of our spirit and we live in a body. And the reason why we live in this flesh body is that what gives us the right to operate in this realm. Once your spirit soul leaves your body, you're dead. The body's dead. Over. Done. However, at the same time, you can't operate in this realm without a body. Seeing, feeling, hearing. Okay? So your body gives you the right to do that. Your body, your flesh, is not evil. It's not good. It just does what you train it to do. It's never satisfied. It's where addiction comes from. And your body can get to where it's so addicted to something, it bypasses your soul, bypasses your mind, and you're not even consciously making a decision to whatever it is that it just wants. Okay? Now, having said that, when you become born again, your spirit is a new creation. You are a new creation. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your affections, they are the same as they were. However, the power source has now been made into the image of Jesus and the nature of God has been imparted to you. You are now connected to the life source. You went from dead, which dead in the Bible always means separation. Divorce is just another word for dead. Dead marriage, divorce, separation. Okay, so it's separation. When we die, we don't cease to exist. Our spirit soul becomes separated from our body, and we're going on to Jesus. And Paul said, that's a lot better for me. I'm just hanging around for you guys. Okay? Now, here's another thing that happens. When you become new creation, you are created in the same image as Jesus. You are in all of the spirit realm, you are as righteous, as perfect as Jesus. And you are one with Him. Therefore, you are now like Jesus was at the age of 30 when He came to the River Jordan. And what happened at the River Jordan? He went in, John baptized Him in water. When He came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down upon Him. He hadn't done a miracle, nothing before then. People say, is baptism in the Holy Spirit separate from being born again? Yes. Just in the same way that Jesus came, he was Jesus righteous? Sure. Was He right with God? Sure. Did He do everything right? Yes. Because He was righteous, He was able then to receive the Holy Spirit to come upon Him, to stay with Him 24/7. This was a big thing in the early church, much bigger then than we treat it now. It was all about that. Because prior to that, they understood that the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people and only for a specific reason, and He left. Didn't stay on all the prophets. Because the Holy Spirit cannot indwell and come upon an unrighteous vessel. You have to be as righteous as God in order to have His Spirit. But don't I have His Spirit? Well, does the Holy Spirit have you? That's the question. Because the baptism in the Spirit is to be immersed in Him. If we could look into the spirit realm, and you say, I look into the spirit realm, if God opened our eyes right now to see that, there would be a glow around you. That'd be the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see that? Does everybody see that? Don't be confused in these types of things. Now, in the early church, the evidence that the gospel, what Jesus had done, His burial, His resurrection, to the early church was the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what they went back and reported to the Jewish believers and said, there's the proof that the gospel is for the Gentiles. That was the proof. Why? Because the only visible sign that they had to go by was they praised God and they spoke in tongues. So when Peter went back after he went to Cornelius' house, and that was a big thing. But isn't it interesting how when Peter said, I don't go to the unclean things, God spoke to him and said, don't you dare call unclean what I've called clean. You know, the world, every person in the world, in the sight of God, every person in the world, in the sight of God, because of what Jesus did, is clean and eligible for all that He has. So what is the issue? What is the issue then? The issue is receiving it. Receiving salvation. Receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving the gifts, receiving. We don't have to. That's the issue, and that's the issue for every blessed saint of God. Not about trying to convince God to do anything. It's receiving by Jesus' stripes you were healed. It's receiving that He took your grief, your sorrow. It's receiving that He set you free from every bondage. It's receiving into your life all that He has done. And it's understanding that it's for me. Me. It's receiving prosperity. Every one of you in this room, every one of you in this room, you are eligible in the sight of God by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross to be multi-millionaires. Well, what's the problem? Our heart. God spoke this to me one morning. I wrote it out. I have it written out. I've gone over and over and over it many times. He said to me, John, I am the Lord God Almighty. There is nothing too difficult for me. I can do anything you can imagine. I said, I don't know, Lord, I could imagine pretty big. He said, you can't imagine big enough that I can't do it. And then he went on to say, what you can imagine in your heart. And then he directed me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Don't turn there. And he said, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he said, most of my children, they don't get what the thing hoped for is. They think that the thing hoped for is something they're wishing for, something that might happen, something they're hoping would happen. They don't get what it means. Of course, with that, I'm going through the Greek and I'm studying it, and I'm going on. Now, there's a Greek word that actually is a word that it's the phrase thing hoped for. And what that word means is what the author has already spoken in literal classical Greek. What the author has already spoken. So the thing hoped for is you hearing that word, what God has already spoken, and it creates within you an image of it's already done. When you come to the place where you begin to see yourself in, see, we only think in pictures, not letters. Okay? I say to you, Jesus, you don't think J-E-S-U-S. Right? You have an image of him in here. And right now, it could be different with all of us. That's why we need the Word of God to reveal Jesus to us, so that we know who the real Jesus is. And there are people who have an image of God in their heart. There's a big angry God with a big beard sitting up there with a big huge stick ready to beat on anybody the moment they get out of line. And a lot of Christians believe that. And that's what they see in their heart. So they act accordingly. Some quit because they ain't going to deal with a God like that. Well, it isn't the God you're dealing with. It's a warped out image the enemy's been able to put in there for lack of seeing in the Word the real. That's why Paul said to know him is important. To know him. What does that mean? You see it all the time and you hear it all the time. Somebody comes to me and says, Don Cale did this, this, and this, and this. And I go, oh, no way he could do that. Well, how can you say that? Because I know him. And he just wouldn't do that. Parents who know their children, you know what they'll do, what they won't do. Because you know them. Do you know what Jesus will do? In every situation? Can you see the difference? So most believers, unfortunately, and we know how important faith is, they don't. The thing hoped for isn't even there. It's not even there to release any faith. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. I see myself healed. Why aren't you multimillionaires? Because no one in here yet sees in here a millionaire. No one yet in here. Well, how can you say that? Well, are you a multimillionaire? Forgive me, is there anybody in here with a couple of million in the bank? Raise your hand. Well, okay, then you see yourself. You can't convince a rich guy he's poor. Well, why? Because he has the money in the bank and that's all he sees in himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, the Word of God says to us that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, although he was rich, he became poor for my sake, that through his poverty, I'm made rich. And that's talking about money. You know, I hear other people say, well, that's really rich in righteousness and all of that. I'll take the whole package, but don't eliminate the money for that. Okay? The context of it is right there in 2 Corinthians 8. He is talking about money. Now, why do people have such a hard time when it comes to giving and so forth? Because in their heart, they see a finiteness. In other words, they don't see, by the grace of the Lord Jesus, I've been made rich. What they see in there is lack, struggle. Got to find a job. I've got to figure out a way to make a living. I've got to earn a living. If it's the grace of the Lord Jesus, you are not called by God to earn a living. It's grace. It's undeserved favor. It's His favor in your corner, taking care of you, getting you into a position where you prosper. And you have a choice. You can go with the grace of God, or you can tough it out on your own, and He'll let you. He'll let you go for it. Most of the younger believers, what's been put in your heart is, I go to school and I get a job. Now it's time for me to go look for a job. And I get this job. Then I get some money. I'm going to buy a car. I buy a car. And then eventually, maybe down the road, I'm going to buy a house. That isn't any different than the way the world lives. I mean, I could show you thousands of people. That's exactly how they live. And they don't know Jesus. They're hanging with the devil. My question to you tonight, do you want more? I want more. Do you want more? Is there anybody in here that wants more than what you're dealing with and what you, what, listen, you're looking down the road at your life and it's not a pretty picture. And you can have it. That's the difference. I hate those words I've heard all my life. That's the way it is. Don't tell me that again. That's the way it is. What a bunch of unbelief and hooey. There is no circumstance in your life that you can't change. And that's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus is Lord is about. You see, the Lordship of Jesus is not Him cracking the whip over you to do this, that, and the other. God does not use His authority, and all authority has been given to Jesus, like humans use it in dictatorship. That's abuse. That's devil. That's disgusting. See? They want to manipulate your will. They want to make you do what they want you to do. They want to control the people. They want the power over your will to force you to do what they think is best for you. God doesn't do that. He's the only one that protects your free will. So if you want to go off and live your life the way you want it, He is going to let you and He's going to protect you to do it. Amen? Absolutely. But God does not use His authority. Jesus is Lord is about, I am the Lord God Almighty. I have created heaven and earth. I'm the Lord God of the universe. No one has any more authority than I do. And I'm going to use it to build you up. To make you a success. To make everyone around you jealous. And so that you don't have to stress out. And you don't have to live in fear. And you don't have to worry. And you don't have to get yourself sick over work. I talked to two ladies that work 82 hours a week. You can't even spend the money. But no time. What's that about? See? That ain't living. That's servitude. Down in Florida, not up here. Amen? Can you see the... And that's what Jesus' Lord is about. I did not come to lord it over you. I came to serve. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Why? Because he's the servant of all. And we got a Lord who's the servant of all, and he has all the bucks. And he has everything we need. And he's basically saying, take it. See? Now, wherein lies the basic fundamental problem? If you look at Romans chapter 8, and you look at verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, when Paul deals with the phrase, walking according to the flesh, if you study it in context, and you take the time, it's taken me years and years and years, I'm going to give it to you in a few minutes and say, thank Jesus. Amen? He is constantly referring to walking according to the flesh, not in the way we think. We being humans with our finite mind, we think walking in the flesh is all kinds of sin. And that's not what he's referencing to. Walking in the flesh is your mind, your soul siding up with your body and constantly wanting to work for the blessing. To do good, to earn it. Constantly wanting to justify before God. God, you need to heal me because I work at the church. You need to heal me, God, because I tithe all the time. You need to heal me, God, because I'm real good to my family. You need to bless me, God, because. That's the temptation of the flesh for the believer. To be good enough. To do the works of the law. Priscilla referred to the scripture last night in Galatians 5:4. You are estranged. Jesus is of no effect. Jesus is not benefiting you because you want to be justified by the work of the law. See? I don't do all the things the other ones I see do. You see, so-and-so, a member of the church, that one does this, this, and this. I don't do that. So there was two guys standing before Jesus, and the one said, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like him. See? I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do. He's wretched. And the other guy goes, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, which one was justified? The one who said, have mercy on me. Because he understood, see, that in order for me to be able to demand anything from God, I need to do the law 24/7, never make a mistake, never have a selfish thought, and never lie, never do anything, because the moment I do, I have violated all of it. So everyone is equally as guilty. The serial killer is no more guilty before God than the person who lies once. And the penalty is the same, death. That's why Jesus came, and that's why Jesus fulfilled the law, and that's why Jesus went to the cross to pay the debt for the law. So that we would be free. Forever. So that we're forgiven 24/7 all the time. And so that we're entitled, because He has made us as righteous as God. You know, try to be righteous as God on your own. That's tough. Now you say, well, how does that happen with me? See, it's not just the Ten Commandments that do it. It's what our attitude is. There's nothing wrong with the law. We hear it, it's good. We all agree. That's great. You shouldn't lie, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't do this and that. The problem is we can't do it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through what? The flesh. God did by sending His own Son. Okay? Own Son to do what the law couldn't do. Now, all that I described to you earlier, and you say, I want to go on, and a millionaire, and all the rest of it, and say, I want to go on, you're going to have to throw the law out of your life tonight forever. You know why most people, you know why churches, I see buildings all the time, big, beautiful church buildings. Even Calvary Assembly, we came out of there with 7,000 people. Now there's a 10,000, 5,000 seat auditorium. It's maybe 700 on a Sunday morning. Why? They're so under the law, okay, that they have to go to church. They can't get there. See, now verse 1 says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation. I'm unfit for use. I'm not good enough. I'm guilty. God wouldn't do anything for me. You don't know what I did before. I have it all the time. They'll come to me. They're away from the Lord. No, you just don't know everything I did. I don't care. You're forgiven. Don't even list it for me. But the enemy convinces them they're beyond recovery. Why? How did they get there? They got under the law, they couldn't do it, they tried to do it, and then finally they knew they couldn't do it, so they said, forget it, I'm not even gonna. One of the worst books I ever saw was put out by a certain denomination that said, now that you are a Christian, burn it, baby, burn it. It's actually moving into the place where we understand that we are in Christ Jesus. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. How many have any knowledge that God is three persons in one God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Got the right group here? Now, it's not that complicated. Father always gives the commands. Jesus carries them out, and Holy Spirit's the power. They all work together. One doesn't work without the other. For God to be God, they all work together in perfect agreement and unity. Here's what Jesus did. He made us part of the Trinity. See, we say it, we don't understand what happened. Are you in Christ Jesus? How many are in Christ Jesus? Well, where's He? He's the Son. Where are we? with him. Where is he? In God. He's in the Trinity. Where are we? There. That's why the word says, for him to deny us is to deny himself. Can you see why? Well, see, that's not in our heart. Put it in your heart. I am in the Trinity. You get that in your heart, where Priscilla's talking about, that alone would change your life. Now, if I'm in the Trinity, why am I trying to earn anything? Why isn't it all just freely given to me? It is. Now look at verse 2 in chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I think there's a lot of believers who read that verse of Scripture a lot of times, but they really don't know what that's saying. There's a law of gravity, right? But there's also the law of lift. That's what makes planes fly. Now that law of lift overcomes that law of gravity. So the law of gravity for a time has no effect. Now Priscilla and I for a long time have said, we don't even want the law of lift. We want the outer space thing, where the gravity can't even get at you. See? Because once the law of lift is not in effect, the law of gravity takes over. So the law of sin and death is always there, working. That's what brings the curse. That's what the world's living under. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, when you begin to operate in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you are free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death brings curse. Now, you people go, what is the law? Would you like to know what the law of sin and death is? Well, it's in Romans chapter 7. Paul describes it. He says, there's a law working in me. The more law I know, the worse I get. The harder I try, the worse I get. Doesn't he? Here he says this, though. He said, but it's not I. It's sin in me. See, we think it's us. Now, there you might want to get your heart into that a while. It's not me. Well, why isn't it me? Because I'm a new creation. I'm in the image of Jesus. And Jesus, does Jesus sin? No. That's why 1 John said, whosoever is born of God does not sin. And Paul said, it's not I, but sin in me. So he says, when I get the law, it brings the sin in me out. Well, you understand, you need to pray for me. I need to be set free from the sin. I'm on drugs. I'm doing this. I've had people in ministry come. I've been smoking for 5 years. Please, I need to pray. You're under the law. No, I'm not. Yes, he is. How's he under the law? Well, I'm in ministry. I'm not supposed to do this. See, it isn't just the Ten Commandments. The Word of God tells us self-imposed religion, self-imposed law. You hear a message. Well, that's really good. You walk out the door and you go, I'm going to do that. No, you're not. You know how many people I've met? And how many years in a row they said, I'm reading through the Bible in a year, are still trying to? I want to tell you, I have never read through the Bible in 35 years chapter by chapter on the little thing they give you. Read this chapter every day. Never. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord never told me to. Lord, how do you want me to go to the Bible? How do you want me to read the Bible? Just be in it where I tell you. Now, he had me read the New Testament 4 times in a month. But because he told me, I had the grace to do it. I've tried the other things. It's how you learn some things. Oh, I think I'll go ahead and do that. Lord, I'll do it for you. See, we say good things. You need to pray an hour a day, brother. You know, you need to pray an hour a day. You'll be blessed. You will be in for the struggle of your life. And then right after that be the condemnation. And then we get worse. Here's the good one. We're reading through the Bible in a year, we miss. So we're going to double up tomorrow. Because we're going to pay for our disobedience from the day before. The reason the churches are not full is because the Christians are under law. You got to go to church. Why? Why do you have to go? And that's what you've got to find out in your heart. Why do I go? I tell this story. I've had pastors follow me. Rose was with us when this happened. We were going to Calvary Assembly years ago before we came to Quakertown, doing ministry, all that, home group, the whole thing, helps ministry, you name it, I did it. Cleaned the bathrooms, vacuumed the carpet for the Sunday service. This 2,000-seater, it wasn't this. I got under the pews and scraped the gum off because they asked me to. And boy, you talk about the body of Christ and gum. Ooh. I'm telling you a fact. It was covered. No wood. You didn't see any wood. I mean, it was covered with gum. They're in the service and put the gum under the pew. Don't wrap it in there. I asked the pastor, I begged him, make an announcement, tell him to wrap it in a piece of paper. Oh, I'm not going to do that. So, as what happens to most of us, you begin to draw your acceptance on what you're doing from God. You know, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm doing Meals on Wheels. I'm doing this. I'm going to hospital ministry, praying for the sick. I'm doing this. I'm taking the gum under the pews. I'm setting up for that. I'm doing this and that. Well, Lord, I have a need. And you begin to rely on that for God to meet your need. And here's the kicker, not Jesus. Jesus is now sitting over here on the side, and you're dealing with God on your works. And guess what? His only cursing. That's the only thing you're going to see. Why? Because I've left the new covenant with Jesus as the mediator. I've gone to the old covenant and said, I'll do all you tell me, Lord. Bless me now. And we can't do all he tells us. So he has no choice because he will not violate his word. Now the Holy Spirit's all the time trying to get us out of here because it says, I can't tell you the number of times the Spirit of God has said to me when I'm drifting that way. You mean you? Yeah, it's a temptation. When I'm drifting that way, and the Holy Spirit says, do you not know you're righteous? Oh, yeah. Having trouble believing for a healing, it's not manifested. And you know what the Spirit of God says to me? You're the righteousness of God. He didn't say, you're healed, because he knew exactly what I needed to hear. And you know, Jesus said, what will he do? He will convict you of righteousness. Amen? You see what I'm talking about here and how this gets askew? And you start thinking, I've got to earn from God my living, the money. And you begin to trust in the education. You begin to trust in your flesh. You begin to trust in your ability to do the job. You begin to trust in those and not trust in Jesus. Well, so how do I do that? Paul said, you want to match up flesh? Because he was dealing with the Colossians. Same issue. He said, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. According to the law, I was blameless. I did it all. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, it was dung. In modern language, it's rougher than that. Paul was a rough guy. Everybody, he didn't go like this. He was tough. And he said it the way it was. So he said nothing. He said, and the reason why it's nothing, the reason why you do not put confidence in it. You see, it works on the other side too. You're excluding yourself because of the flesh. What you did in the flesh. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Therefore, I'm disqualified. You didn't go to church. So I have a lousy week. You didn't pray today. How can God have anything to do with you today? You didn't pray. It has nothing to do with the fact you're blessed. You got to come to a place to understand praying's talking to God, and you got to come to a place to decide, you know, he's worth talking to. So I'm going to make time. That's the bottom line. God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want people to do anything under the law like that. He wants you to come and do that because you want to. Hey, you don't want to, don't. Paul said, everything is lawful to me. But not everything's profitable. So I tell the story about how I wake up one morning on a Sunday and the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, don't go to church this morning. Take the family to SeaWorld. So I tell him, we're not going to church this morning. We're going to SeaWorld. So we get ready. We go to SeaWorld. It was a great time. I had the best time I ever had at SeaWorld. But on the way there, just as I'm passing that church building on I-4, the guilt hit me. Oh, the devil was all over me. And the Lord's Holy Spirit spoke to me to the reason I did this was you were getting seduced into the works of the law. A self-righteousness. Now, if you don't hear the Spirit tell you that, and this is what he impressed upon me, you won't hear me. You just keep going by the law. More and more and more and more. And what is it? More cursing. More problems. More looking like the world. In some cases, worse. Now, Paul in Galatians says, you got to throw the whole law out. Now, that takes some mind renewal. Because in Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You know what that means? He made it unfit for use. No account. that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what is he talking about? He's talking about stop walking according to your flesh that wants the rules. That includes the steps. Don't tell me about being led of the Spirit and walking the Spirit. Just tell me the steps, what I got to do. No, I'm not telling you the steps because there are no steps. You see, every one of your situations are different. And only God knows what's going to take care of it. Only God knows what's going to resolve it. So you need to hear from the Spirit of God what to do. And there are no rules and steps. Everything in the world is that way. We are judged that way. We get promoted that way. We get wealthy that way. It's all about that, isn't it? That's why Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what's he talking about being carnally minded? When the Bible talks about carnal thinking, carnally minded, when it talks about carnality, it's talking about division and separation. You are born again. The Spirit of God is within you. It knows the truth. You know the truth. The truth is in here, and you've got a mind that's divided, headed off in another direction. It's carnal. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, the Spirit of God cannot reveal to you the things that Jesus has given you freely because you are carnal. Are you not mere men? Then he goes on to say, you're carnal because you're following after different people. Some of you are Paul, some of you are Apollos, some of you are Christ, and Christ is not the best. You say, well, what's the matter with that? These are people who run around all over the place and never get planted because they're following Jesus. Now, the point is that Paul says, you're like a mere man. He's talking to believers who are filled with the Spirit. Corinthians, who operated in the gifts like no one's business. I mean, they were overflowing with the gifts of the Spirit. He goes, are you not carnal? Like mere men? That you cannot receive those things were freely given to you? Well, think about it in these terms. We were in the Catholic Church, and they threw us out after we were born again, filled with the Spirit. Because we went to listen to someone who wasn't Catholic. Are they not carnally minded? That's the verse that the Lord gave me. It said, time to move on. Because they ain't getting nothing. Well, just right there in a practical way. If I'm only going to listen to something in my own denomination, how would I hear anything else in regards to the Word of God? We were hungry for the Word. I don't care if they came from Mars. If the Lord said, go, we went. But by the same token, here's a Catholic charismatic group, and it had quite a few people in it, but you couldn't speak there if you weren't Catholic. So to be carnally minded, he says, is death. Your mind is focused, the flesh, on the earning. Earning. It's not focused on the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, but it gets good, though. Watch. Because the carnal mind is an enmity to God. Now, how many of you have heard the Spirit tell you something and your mind freaks? I'm not the only one. You can't do that. They'll think you're crazy. Well, your mind is an enmity. Well, who's talking to you? The Spirit of God. What's your mind doing? In a war. I'm not going to lay hands on that person to be healed. I'm in public. It'd be different if I was in a church building. It was a service. But I'm here in Starbucks. The Spirit says, go lay hands on them. Tell them that I can heal them. The mind goes, no way. Early on, I had that happen to me, witnessing. The Lord say, go witness to that person. I may be in a restaurant. Chicken out. Had my mind just, I started to learn one thing. When the Spirit talks to you, don't think, just do it. Stuff like that. Never once 1 ounce of condemnation, though. Holy Spirit always saying, next time we'll get them. Next time we'll get it done. Well, let's get going. Go into this scripture and renew your mind. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But here's the good news, verse 9. This verse, I want you to take this, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to go over it, and I want you to say it. But you are not in the flesh. Say, I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in me. Now, does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Then you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Now, how many of you have heard you have to get in the Spirit? You need to pray an hour, 2 hours to get in the Spirit. How can you get into something you're already in? See, let me put it to you this way. You're walking around in a body. Can you live without air? No. You must have the air to breathe to live. Okay? So, what are you? I'm in the air. You can't live without the Spirit. So if I'm in the Spirit, it's the same thing as me walking around in this atmosphere breathing. If we were to go into the, where Priscilla and I say we're going to outer space, we can't get out of there. Tain't no air there. You would, what? Die without air. You die without the Spirit. So in essence, when we're breathing air, we're breathing life, aren't we? Now, can the air survive without us? Sure. It's going to still be here. Can the Spirit survive without us? Sure. So I need to be aware of and understand that I am in the Spirit and I am connected to life. You understand? It's a big thing to really get to the place where you fill your heart and understand, I am in the Spirit. I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. I am not in the flesh. Well, if I'm not in the flesh, I don't need the rules. Amen? So, don't run out and go, I gotta really try hard not to have the rules. No. Be in the Spirit and the rules go away. But don't try to be in the Spirit. Know by, why do I know I'm in the Spirit? Somebody tell me. Why do I know I'm in the Spirit? Because God said so, and I believe it. How do you receive anything from God? It's because He said it. But I don't feel like it. I feel real fleshy. Doesn't matter. God says I'm in the Spirit, so I am. God says I'm in the Spirit, so I am. God says I'm in the Spirit, so I am. Guess what starts to happen? You don't feel real fleshy. I want to tell you the extent of the truth of that scripture. You can actually arrive at the place where you have no consciousness of your flesh. It's so quiet, it's like a church mouse, had nothing to say. Because it's one dead thing. This is good here. Watch. Okay, are you in the flesh? No. What are you? In the Spirit. And at verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why is the Spirit in me? Why do I have the Spirit? Because I am the righteousness of God. He has made me righteous to put His Spirit in me. which is the only way that his spirit can be in you, and the only way you can be in the spirit is he's made you righteous, as good as him. You're as good as him all the time. We understand, John, I just sinned yesterday. You're still righteous. This is not a sinner trying to be righteous. This is your righteous. You understand? The sin didn't cause you to be not as righteous as God because Jesus made me righteous. Verse 11, but the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Now, I've been working on this thing for like 14 years. And like every week, I see something more. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Your what body? Your mortal body. Life. Every cell working properly. Every part of your body doing the right thing. Amen? Now, you'll hear this tonight. And once you leave, if you kind of put it on the shelf, the enemy will have it stolen from you by, because he comes immediately to do what? Steal the word that was sown. However, he don't have a shot if you would just say, you know, every day I'm just going to go over this. You know, because I really want this. I want to live this. I want the good life. I'm tired of the way it is. I don't want it to be the way it is anymore. See, what Priscilla was talking about is simply this. You decide. You make the decision. He supplies you with the grace to do it. God's wonderful. He asks us what to do. He gives us the power to do it. Then he gives us credit like we did it. Great. Now, verse 12. Because of 10 and 11, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. You're not a son of or daughter of God by keeping the law. It's getting in you and knowing who you are, that you are a son of God. Now, if you know you're a son of God, aren't you part of the Trinity?
Yes.
So one morning I got up and the Lord said to me, I want you to say this today, because I get up in the morning and I ask him for different things to say. He said, I want, like I told you about, I'm the one that you love. He said, I want you to say that I am God's beloved son, and he is well pleased with me. And I said, can I actually do that? Because your mind is in enmity. He goes, I want you to say it. Father, I'm your beloved son in whom you're well pleased. Father, I'm your beloved son in whom you're well pleased. I want to tell you something. When I first started to go, Father, I'm your beloved son in whom you're well pleased, my mind freaked out. I'm telling you, it was like a short circuit. But you know, after a while, my mind started to go, this is not so bad. How do you know when your mind is renewed? Well, you don't have to think about it. Sandy, you don't go, my name's Sandy. Hold on a second. Let me figure it out. You respond. If you were in a crowd and I yelled, Sandy, you'd turn around. That's a renewed mind. That's a mind who knows who you are. See? In addition to that, a renewed mind is one that's aim or mindset is toward the truth. Not going, you can't say that. They'll think you're crazy. You see? Now it says here, and here's an important concept, you are not a debtor to the flesh. And what that means is you don't owe your flesh nothing. Not even food. So when it's screaming, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me this, you owe me sleep, you owe me sit down in that easy chair, you owe me an extra 3 hours sleep, and the spirit says, get up, get in the word a little bit, and the flesh goes, nuh-uh. Your flesh has no right to anything. You are not a debtor to the flesh anymore. What it has a right to do is toe the line. Do what you tell it to do. Amen? And what is God looking for in this plan? You're led by the Spirit, the soul follows, and the body serves. That you're led by the Spirit, not by your mind, not by your feelings, not by your emotions, not by anything. See, we think because we have a thought, it's ours. We think that our mind is in control. No, your mind doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie. It just receives stuff like a computer. And if you have no truth to put it up against, the devil will sow a lie in there, and you'll just accept it. You say, well, how do I accept it? Jesus said, don't take the thought saying. We think that everything that comes in our mind must be said. Because after all, I thought it. No. Everything that comes to your mind doesn't have to be said. What it has to be is examined for what it is. Because your spirit is in control. The Holy Spirit is in control. And that's the thing about, hey, he told me to go to see, well, don't go to church. As far as most of the Christians I knew, even the ones I was in ministry with at the time, thought I was a lawbreaker. Well, no way could that be God. I got news for you. That was God. Are you following this? You do not owe anything. You are not a debtor to the flesh. Now, you don't owe your flesh rules or steps. Don't tell me about that. Just tell me what I got to do. Give me the steps. It's easier. Well, the steps don't always work in every situation. Can you see the difference there? It's not one size fits all. There's principles. Romans chapter 8. You get that in you, you go over that. It's pivotal. It'll help you a great deal. Great deal. And getting to past, that's the way it is. One last thing. Now it says, those who are led of the Spirit, they're sons of God, right? Now turn to Romans 6, 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Let's go with verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that's just as if I've not sinned, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. He's not angry with you. Ever. For anything. Amen? Why? Because the peace is through who? Jesus. And where am I? In Him. Through whom we have access by faith into what? This grace in which we stand. By faith, I have access to the grace in which we stand. Well, the biggest part of grace is no law. I'm not earning anything. It's undeserved favor. I don't have to earn it in any way, shape, or form. Well, what do? I receive it by faith. Lord, this is your child, and I have a need, and here's my need. Now, thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, one last illustration. Watch out for this. How many of you ever watch a TV program, for example, where they arrest criminals, like a Law and Order or one of those? And what do they do all the time? Well, they have the suspects. They line them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And what do? They pull their record. And they go, Sandy, she's been good. Never been arrested, all that. So they go, Amanda. Well, she got a little thing here, a ding. And they go to Lindsay, and she's never been arrested for anything serious. And they go to Diane. Whoa, what a rap sheet. So what do they say? She's the guilty one. Why? Because of her rap sheet, her past. Now watch out. When you go, Lord, don't let the devil pull your rap sheet and stick it in your face. Why? God don't remember. You don't remember. And if he tries to make you remember, you tell him, you take it up with Jesus. My rap sheet is clean. You know, the enemy used that rap sheet on too many people that I know. Well, what is the rap sheet? Well, you know, look what you did 4 days ago. You know, you didn't pray. You expect God's going to meet? Yes, I do. Why? Because I'm under grace. And when he sees me, he sees Jesus. Now, isn't it interesting how we hear so much preaching against sin, against sin, against sin, and not so much about grace and faith? Because man thinks in their flesh, the way you get rid of sin is to preach against it and give them more law. Why? I hear this all the time. Our country, now US of A, is more criminal than it ever was. Well, we have more laws than we ever had. I'm driving down I-95, I-4. I'm doing 75 miles an hour. It's 70 miles an hour speed limit. Everybody's passing me. Mm-hmm. Nobody is in the speed limit. See? We got a better shot if they took the signs down. They might actually, within themselves, say, I need to drive safe. So our government, who's in the world, under the world system, says, well, there's this going on, that we need another law. When prohibition was passed in the 20s, Even my grandfather, who never drank at all, started mixing bathtub gin. Why? Because it was the law and he's breaking it. See, and it takes the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God to bring you to the place to say, I'm not getting over the flesh and I don't know nothing to the flesh and I'm not going to go that way. I'm going by the Spirit. And that you can begin to hear Him 24/7. Where does that bring you? It puts you in the presence of God all the time, 24/7, no matter what havoc is going on around you. Jesus came into a lot of situations where most of us would freak out. But why? Well, how was He able to say, I only say what the Father tells me, I only do what I see the Father do? Because He was in the presence of God within Himself all the time, no matter whether they're screaming at Him or not. He was literally separated from the circumstance. You and I, we get into that area and we're reacting to circumstances. We're feeling angry. We're feeling like we want to strike back. We're feeling like I'll fix him up. I hate my boss. I'm going to get another job. When in fact, you have the power within you, and Jesus is Lord of your life. You can change that boss and your relationship with him, and he can give you favor. And what I tell people, I tell my own boys, never leave anywhere on the devil's terms. You leave on God's terms always. In the church, they're angry at the pastor. They're angry at the church member. I'm leaving because of. I'm living in the flesh, reacting to a circumstance in the way I like. I'll fix them up. Split, this, that. Are you not carnal? Well, God didn't want us there. He didn't want that for us. He wants us to reign. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in this life. I take that verse of scripture. Lord, thank you for the abundance of grace. I have it. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. I'm righteous. I want to reign. And when a circumstance doesn't line up, I'm speaking that circumstance. I'm telling it to line up in the name of Jesus because I rule over that. I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places. I'm at the right hand of the Father with Jesus looking down. Don't ever look up at the devil, that worm. Look down. You talk to him this way. Then you go, boom, you're under my feet. Get out of here and you're done. Amen? Come sniffing around. Amen? Stand. I believe that every single one of your lives, okay, they're changed because of this word. And that you understand I am in the Spirit. Amen? You understand that. And you're not going to be trying to get into the Spirit, trying to do anything. God, by His grace, has done that for us. Receive it. Amen? Receive it. Receive it. Now, I want to handle this this way. There's two things that I would like to do, which I believe the Spirit of God wants done. We know one of them is that Rachel's still here, right? Rachel, we're going to have, I'm going to water baptize her in the pool. And so that's following. If anybody wants to observe or be there, that's fine. It's up to you. Now, the second thing is, anybody who you need prayer, and you don't even know what for, I just need some prayer. I don't do this all the time because, and I believe being strong in the Word and so forth and so on, and that's where God wants us to be, where we handle it. But there are those times where we need to join faith together. When they cut the hole in the roof and lowered the guy down, Jesus saw their faith. So corporate faith is very powerful. Our joined together faith. So, for those that want or need prayer,